heavens and the earth. This blessed morning, your children, God, they've lift up their voices and they say whenever they see the breaking forth of a new day, they will always say, thank you, Lord. Papa, we've gathered in one accord from all over the world, returning all glory to you, knowing of a truth that we can take pills, we can take sleeping tablets to sleep, that if we are yet to see any tablets that can wake us up. Glorious God, we know your power woke us up this morning. We return all glory unto you. Even our brethren still on their way coming, our brethren all over the world watching us via Zoom, YouTube and Facebook, Lord, we've gathered, Jehovah, to return our worship unto you, Jesus. My God and my King, we want to look into your word that we've tagged Sunday school, and we ask you to come and teach us through the power of your Holy Spirit. Help us to understand, God, the foundation of your word, because there is no way we can build, my Father, on a foundation we've not recognized. Glorious Father, I disappear for you to appear in me. I am weak, Lord. Come and make yourself strong, Jehovah, this morning. And at the end, God, both the speaker and the hearers, we will rejoice because we've learned from you. Thank you, glorious King, for who you are. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen. Let us sit down in the heavenly places. God bless you. Hallelujah. Okay, I welcome us again to today's Sunday school, and we are trusting God this morning to help us understand more things about the writings of the Bible, the things which I call the rudiments of the scriptures, and the foundation every believer needed to have before you begin to dive into mysteries. For you to begin to fly in mysteries and you don't know this foundation of Christianity, you are flying on a faulty foundation. That is why when you get to some altitude in the air of revelation, you are unable to reconcile scriptures because there are things you lack, there are foundations you lack. But while you get those revelations in the altitude, you are flying, and you are well grounded in the foundation, so you are able to reconcile scriptures. You are able to say the word of God is infallible. There is no error. Why some people will say the word of God is fallible is because they are flying the altitude where they are living with revelation without having the foundation of that revelation. Beloved of God, I want to let us know that the word of God is without controversy. The word of God is 100% sure. What is the problem? Our understanding is faulty, not the word of God. The word of God is everly true. It's the word that have lived, that have outlived every writings of men. And we thank God for his word in the name of Jesus. By the grace of God, today we are going into the fourth part of the topic we've taken, the Pauline episodes. We wouldn't want to overstress the importance of Pauline episode because we say if you downplay the writings of Paul, you've downplayed more than half of the New Testament. So in order to understand the New Testament and the New Testament church, you have to have 100% knowledge of the epistles of Paul. And God had helped us from the first, second, the third part of what we've started, where we talked about what happened, the events that happened between the first missionary journey of Paul and the second missionary journey of Paul. So last week we were able to establish that they went to Jerusalem because some brethren, especially people from the Judea church, that we tag in our own certain, the Brahamites today, we are teaching erroneously to the believers, and especially teaching wrong thing in the place where Paul has already taught. So as believers, their understanding may differ. So they decided to all go to those who saw Jesus physically, those who Jesus taught primarily, those who listened to Jesus while he was on earth, those who touched him, those who feel him. If you don't accept the sayings of Paul because you felt I haven't gone to Bible school, you felt I haven't seen Jesus one-on-one, okay, let us go to Jerusalem to meet with those that saw Jesus while he was on earth. So they all moved to Jerusalem, which we call the Jerusalem Council. And we say that is the first minister's meeting where they went, and every one of them tabled their issues. And the apostles stood up and they say, actually, what Paul is preaching is the correct gospel. Hallelujah. And Peter also, we say, I was once preaching what you, the Judea church, were preaching, but the Holy Spirit came and gave us progressiveness of revelation. So we stand with what Paul is saying. And that was how that issue was resolved. And we came again when they returned to their home church in Antioch. We saw how Paul and Barnabas are separated. They went their own ways. And we brought out the next move of Paul, where he took Titus, he took Timothy, and he took Prophet Silas. And we are able again to establish from the scriptures that a prophet from the foundation of the church, a prophet is not supposed to pastor a church. And we argued, like what we say in the book of Corinthians, that our works will be tested that day. And I believe some of the works that will not survive the test of Christ is the works of the prophet. Paul said, even though they will be saved, but their work will not survive. Their work will be tested. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 30. So whatever they are doing must be tested on that day we call the judgment seat of Christ. They themselves, if they have the Holy Ghost, will be saved. But every work they've done on earth here, there is no reward. It will collapse. Praise Master Jesus. And we promise today we will now move into the second missionary journey of Paul. I want to take it very slowly. Our brethren say, please, I should take it slowly so that they can also write down the things we have. Okay, let us have the slides and see how we will join it today. Pauline episode. We are looking at Paul's second missionary journey. We look at follow-up evangelism by Paul and his team. Follow-up evangelism. You see, so follow-up evangelism is, well, I think they caught it more in the Christ Embassy setting. Sorry using it. The Christ Embassy setting, when they go after you and follow up, they preach to you today. In fact, over the next 1 month, 20 people will be following you up to make sure the seed that was planted before, that it germinates. So the apostles also did their follow-up evangelism. Follow-up evangelism also means when you preach to somebody the first time, now you go back to start knowing the seed you planted, how the seed is doing. So Paul and his team went on follow-up evangelism. Again, we look at Paul's move from Asia to Europe. Paul's move from Asia to Europe. Again, we look at Paul received a call from Macedonia that led him to Europe. The call he received, we look at the Philippine church planted by Paul. There are many places Paul visited, but I am bringing up this like the Philippine church because we have the book of Philippines. So we will look at his visit to Philippines that brought about the book of Philippines that we have. Like I told us when we started initially, these are physical activities that brought about the writings of the Bible. Paul wasn't sitting one place or in a dream and the Holy Spirit began to tell him what to write. No, physical activities happened in those places that brought about these books that we have today. We also look at the Thessalonica church planted by Paul. We'll look at Paul in Berean. We'll look at Paul in Athens. We'll look at Paul sent Timothy to establish the Thessalonica church in faith. And we'll look at Paul's epistle to the church in Thessalonica. Praise Master Jesus. Because of our limited time also, if you couldn't write down these things, you are free to ask for the slides. By 7 o'clock, also they rebroadcast our Sunday services. You can also go on to catch up. I only have 1 hour so that we can cover all. The next slide. God bless you. Now, this the root of Paul's second missionary journey. Like we've established, that missionary journey starts from Antioch of Syria, and wherever Paul goes to, when he comes back to Antioch, that ends a missionary journey. Now, we saw how he went on his first missionary journey. He went all through, and he came back to Antioch. That ended the first. Now, he has started another journey that he left from Antioch, and he went to Cilicia. So, Cilicia is under Tarsus. So, that is where he went from Tarsus. He went back to the region of Galatia, where he first of all preached his first message, where we said it's a follow-up evangelism. Now, from there, from Derbe, he moved into Philippine. So, Philippine is in Europe, under the Macedonia region. So, that was where he left Asia, entered Philippine as the first European nation that Paul preached. And that was when the gospel now moved to Europe. In his first missionary journey, we saw the gospel circulating in Asia. And Paul never had the intention of going to Europe. Paul was still preaching in Asia until the Holy Spirit said, no, time has come for the people in Europe to also hear this gospel you are preaching. And when Paul tried to go to other Asian countries, the Holy Spirit would deny him access. The Holy Spirit would say no. Until while Paul was in a dream, in a vision, and he heard the voice of a man calling in Macedonia, please come and help us. Immediately, Paul knew that his attention is needed in Europe. So that was how the shift changed from Asia. He now moved to Europe. And in Europe, he first of all entered Philippines. This Philippine is the book of Philippines that we have. So we look at how what brought about the writings of that book. When he finished in Philippi, he went to Thessalonica. Now, we also look at the activities that happened in these regions that Paul went to. Like the famous song we normally sing, Paul and Silas, they pray. After praying, they sang. After singing, the Holy Ghost came down. This song was actually sung, or the inspiration for the song was actually taken from Philippines, when Paul and Silas was in prison. So that prison experience that you see happened in Europe, in Philippines. So we look at the activities that brought about them. Paul didn't steal. Paul didn't do anything other than preaching the gospel. And he did a good work, and that was how he was arrested. So after his release, he left Philippine and went to Thessalonica. And that is the book we have today, the book of 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. Is actually in Europe the activities happened that gave birth to this Bible we are having now. Praise Master Jesus. So if you don't have this background and foundation as Christian, so you begin to think like Matthias and his team that Christianity is a fraud because they've not have the knowledge that you have. If you have this knowledge to know that Christianity is not a white man religion and the Bible is not a white man book, if you have this knowledge, then you will appreciate Christianity the more. Praise Master Jesus. So they left from Thessalonica, they moved to Berea. So we always, like the terminology, we'll correct that terminology. As some of preachers, you hear them say that the Berean Christians are more noble. No, it's the Berean Jews that are more noble than the Thessalonica Jew. not Berean Christian. Praise Master Jesus. It's Berean Jew. Because as of the time Paul was entering Berea, there were no Christian there. It was the Jew he first of all met. So if you have been using that terminology, the Berean Christians are more honorable than those of Thessalonica, is wrong. It's Berean Jew. You see, this is what the foundation causes us to understand. So from there, he moved to Athens. From Athens, he moves to Corinthians. And that gave birth to the book of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians that we have today. So these are physical events that brought about these writings. And from there, he moved back to Asia in Ephesus. So from Asia in Ephesus, he now went back to Antioch. And that ended his second missionary journey. Praise Master Jesus. Okay, let us have the next slide. I think I am taking it very calm now. I'm not rushing. Thank you. So we are looking at Paul's second missionary journey, putting them in check of what we have today. Like we've said that the Syria is the Syria in Antioch. We established that we have so many Syrias, but we have two that the Bible actually used. We have Syria in Pisidia, and we also have Syria in Antioch that was used in the Bible. And we have Cilicia, which I said is under Tarsus. And we have the Lystra and Derbe. These are places Paul preached. They are under the region of Galatia. Then we have the Philippine, the Thessalonica, and we have the Berean. These regions, actually, they are under Macedonia. For example, when we talk of Lagos State, we talk of Alausa. Another people, we talk of Ijesha. Another people can talk of Surulere. So all these places are under the region of Lagos. But when we now talk of the umbrella, we talk about Nigeria. Now, Nigeria is the umbrella that is housing Lagos, and Lagos is the umbrella that is housing Alausa, housing Surulere, housing Ijesha, housing Festac. You see? So we've seen Philippine, Thessalonia, Berean under that region, and we have Athens, Corinth. They are under the umbrella of our present-day Greece. Praise Master Jesus. Now, we look at, so the people in Europe, you should also, especially if you are in Greece, you should also appreciate that Apostle Paul, the great apostle, was in your soil. He was in your soil. Very unfortunate to Africa that Paul didn't come here, but his word actually spread the same time. We will talk about that. Then he came to Ephesus. Ephesus, we know, is still under our present-day Turkey. Praise Master Jesus. Okay, to the next slide. Okay, the follow-up evangelism, Paul visited the churches he planted in Galatians. Let's open the book of Galatians chapter 6, 16, and run through that verse. The book of Acts. Acts 16, let us run from verse 1 and take up a note from that. He said, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. Now, this was, go back to the slide. Like I told us, in his first missionary journey, that was when the seed that gave birth to Timothy was planted. Now, when he was coming back now the second time, they presented the young Timothy, the book of Timothy, chapter 1, chapter 2, Timothy 1 and Timothy 2. This is the Timothy we are talking about. In Lystra, he harvested young Timothy. Now, his first missionary journey, the seed that caught Timothy was planted. So when he came back the second time as a follow-up evangelism, the people presented Timothy. Say, Oga, that time you came first. This young boy just fell in love with Christ and he wasn't so strong for Christ. And Paul, as a spiritual man, took Timothy. And that was how Timothy joined the evangelical team. Now, don't forget, in this journey they are going, Titus is with Paul. Silas, Prophet Silas, is already with Paul. So they've now added Timothy. to be among the evangelical team that went on that journey. He said the Holy Spirit asked them to leave Asia. You see, while he was evangelizing, again, don't forget, this was the time Paul delivered the letter from the apostles, the agreement they had from Jerusalem Council. So this was the time Paul was delivering those letters to those churches he has already planted in the first journey to establish them in the faith. So when they got to that Asia region, the Holy Spirit denied them from preaching further in Asia. So Paul was also confused in the physical, not knowing what next to do. Let's see that in the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 6. Acts 16, verse 6. He said, now, when they had gone throughout Bithynia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Now, the first missionary journey, the Holy Spirit didn't stop him from preaching in Asia. Now, the Holy Spirit said, you have done so much in Asia. It's now for you to move elsewhere. And Paul, where will I go? Let's go back to that slide. So, as Paul was still in the feast of where to go, the Holy Spirit gave him revelation of a call in Macedonia. Let's see that again in verse 9 of that Acts 16, verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. Here stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Praise Master Jesus. So immediately Paul got that revelation. Of course, he knows this is where the Lord wanted him to go. And immediately Paul sailed to Europe, entering through Philippine. So Dr. Luke joined them in Troas. Troas was actually the place he received the call. So Dr. Luke joined them here. Now, the reason why I have added Dr. Luke, because his own role is very important. Dr. Luke is the writer of the book of Acts that we are reading now. So for him to have written the book of Acts, that shows that he also is an eyewitness to some of those things that happened in the early church. So an eyewitness writing is to be taken very seriously. So Dr. Luke joined the team in Troas and they moved to Europe. So in them going to Europe, Dr. Luke was there. So let's take the signal we had there to know that Luke joined them. Let's see that Luke 16 verse 10. Take note of the language there. Luke 16 verse 10. He said, now therefore, Luke 16 10, he said, after he had seen the vision, that was for immediately. Now you are seeing a verb or whatever, or plural, saying we. He said, the plural we endeavor to go into Macedonia. The we there now means that the writer is also included, we. But before here, Luke had never included himself in every of their journey. And he said, after he had seen the vision, immediately we. So that we signified that the person writing was also part of them. So that was when Luke joined them, and all his writing, you will be seeing we, that of Paul's group. We, that was Paul's group. So that was when he began to travel with them. Praise Master Jesus. So that will also make us appreciate the gospel, that a educationally sound person like Luke wouldn't come to give us fallacy. Okay, let's have the slide. I pray God to help us. He said, Paul sailed into Europe. Let's have the next slide. Now, Paul properly in Philippines. Paul got his first European convert by the name Lydia. Lydia was the first, a woman, was Paul's first convert in Philippines. So when he entered, he went about and he saw this woman, and the woman immediately received the gospel, invited Paul to his house, and she and her household were all baptized. These are activities that happened in Philippines. Now, the girl with the spirit of divination was delivered. Now, we understand this very story. The girl that was running after Paul and Silas, he said, these are the servants of God. They are showing you the way of truth. They are showing you the way of God. And the Bible says, this little girl, with her soothsaying, has been making money for his master. His master used her to get money, tell people about their future, and they bring money. So by the Spirit of God, Paul designed that this girl, the spirit speaking through her is actually not the clean spirit. And Paul delivered the girl by casting away that spirit from her. And that was how Paul entered trouble. So the master, when the master caught the girl again for show, when the people gather, the girl is not seeing anything again. The master said, what has happened? Are you not seeing? Where did you go? Are you following those people that entered this city? He said, I went there, oh, the man touched my head, and there's something left me. Hey, it's the spirit that is giving us money that just left you. Where have those men gone to? So that was how the master of this little girl mobilized the mob, and they started looking for Paul and Silas. Oh boy, they now caught Paul. So you've come to remove food from my mouth. You know how many years this girl has made me rich? And that was how they started beating Paul. And in Paul's, one of his accounts in the book of 2 Corinthians 11:24, he talked on how he was flogged 39 strokes of cane. I said five times that happened. That all happened in Philippine. They gave him 39 strokes. It's not this little cane you flog children. No, this one they sell 100 naira. No, when they talk of whip, you know it's a strong one. That's, those days it's made of tire. Those ones, the strong one. Paul received 39. That was done in Philippine where after then they've beaten him. They took Paul and they cast Paul and Silas into the prison. So when these are accounts in the Bible, I decided to extract them so that we can talk them over. You can become familiar with them. So when a preacher is saying, and that night, Paul and Silas was in prison, immediately something in me will ignite. Where did this happen? Immediately, I will know it happened in Philippines. Now you can start flowing with the preacher what he's saying, because you already understand the background of what the preacher is talking about. So Paul and Silas, they were cast in prison. We know the story. In the midnight, they began to pray, begin to sing unto God. The prisoners heard their voice, and immediately an earthquake came down. It happened in Philippines. Their chains were loosing, and the jailer thought they've escaped, thought the whole prisoners have escaped, and he wanted to kill himself. And Paul shouted, please don't do. And that was how, through that miraculous event that God did, the jailer and his household, they became Christians. They were baptized, and they began to treat Paul and his team very good. It happened in Philippine. So when it was morning, they now sent for Paul to be released. And Paul, being a Roman citizen, they never knew he was a Roman citizen. So allow me to say, I don't know, but let me equate to be a Roman citizen in those days is just like saying you are an American citizen today. You know, you can't just arrest an American, you begin to flog them wherever part of the world or throw them in prison without first going through the normal legal procedure. So that was what they did to Paul. They thought Paul was from Africa. Yes, now, when they treat us, then nobody will talk for us. So they do whatever they like. So they thought Paul was from Africa. They gave him beating. They striped him naked, threw him in prison. Now they want to send him out because maybe they found out the truth. And Paul said, no, is this how you people do in this city? A Roman citizen, you flogged me without first investigating me. Ah! The jailer said, do you mean you are from Roman? He said, yes. And he went to tell the magistrate, Paul, they came and they begged Paul. Oga, not tell your ambassador to Nigeria. Not tell your ambassador, please, we are sorry, we didn't know. And that was how they begged Paul and his team. He now left the land, the place of Philippi on his own. Now, this was actually what happened. Remember Lydia, the jailer, they've already accepted Christ. They and other people that we don't have the name, they congregated and they became a church. You see, now, that was how the church of Philippine, that was how the church started. So Paul left there knowing already that he has already planted a church in Europe. So Philippi is the first European church that was planted in the Europe. Praise the Lord. So that was how Paul moved now from Philippi to Thessalonica. Let's go to the next slide. Now, Paul in Thessalonica, his routine always be when he comes to a new city, Paul moves first to the synagogue. So he goes to the synagogue to reason with his fellow Jews. At least the Jews already had background of the Old Testament. So he goes there to point them through the Old Testament to present the person of Christ. And when he got there, they actually accepted, some of them accepted, the Gentiles accepted. Now, the next day or the next Sabbath day, they became envious seeing the crowd that is now hearkening to the preachings of Paul. So when they became envious, they began to plot on how to kill Paul. You see, that was some of the things he went through in his first missionary journey. In all those cities, they plot to kill him. So it has started again in his second missionary journey. The Jews, they become envious and they plotted to kill Paul. And Paul escaped by night. Praise Master Jesus. Luke, Dr. Luke was very spectacular. He said it was night. They placed Paul. They kept him. They were waiting for the nightfall. They will peep from the window. Is it night? He said, no, the day is still there. These people, they will maybe hanging. So in the night, they whisk Paul away. And I see in the social media, some people saying the pastors are using security men to go about. And you see, these are knowledge. People need to have knowledge. Paul himself, when Paul was being transported from Caesarea to Rome, the Gentiles provided him security men, armed soldiers, to escort Paul. Paul would have said, no, I am a man of God. I don't need security. Paul, his life was at risk. So as an influential man and as a pastor, when you notice that your life is at risk, why will you tempt God? God has given the knowledge to those who have provided the bulletproof cars and this thing. If you can afford it because the world still needs to hear your voice. They still have to hear your voice. Forget those. I was listening to a preacher this morning. I was saying, oh God, you still hungry. When you've gotten to the rank of these people, we will know if you will use security or not. You are still a roadside preacher and you can say whatever because you've not gotten to their level. Bro, as a preacher or whatever, if you can afford it, if your life is at risk, Apostle Paul condoned it. Praise the Lord. It just came to me. So, Paul was whisked out by night and he moved to Berean. So let's see that note in Berean where it actually stated that notion I wanted us to check in the book of Acts chapter 17 verse 10. Acts 17 verse 10 and 11. He said, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. You see, it was night they went out. Who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews, verse 11. These there now is the Berean. He's talking about Berean people. He said, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Like I told us, I said, we've been saying the Berean Christians are more noble than the Thessalonica. No, it's not Berean Christians. These are Berean Jews. Berean Jews were more noble than the Thessalonica Jews. Praise the Lord. So what happened there was they were ready because they were all equipped already with the Old Testament. So when Paul came in with the knowledge, they reasoned with Paul and saw that what Paul actually was saying is the truth of the gospel. Paul spent only 3 weeks in Thessalonica. I brought out this point because it's very interesting. So after these 3 weeks, Paul left there because they attempted, like we see, to kill him. So those who believed in his gospel for that 3 weeks, they congregated and they became a church. So that was how the church of Thessalonica came to be, that we have the book of Thessalonians. So Paul moved from Thessalonica to Berea. We are looking at Paul's second missionary. Let me have the next slide. The next slide. Paul in Berea now, he also preaches in the synagogue. These are his first distinct. The Berean Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. We've said it. The Jews of Thessalonica came to Berea to kill Paul, like we saw in his first missionary journey. How the Jews in Iconium, the Jews in Pisidia, they entered night bus from the east to Lagos to kill Paul. In second missionary journey, we also see them. The Thessalonica Jews, they entered Osondo from Anambra State, night bus. They want to arrive Lagos very early. So they organized themselves, entered that bus early in the morning. They were in Lagos looking for Paul, praise Master Jesus, to kill Paul. And immediately they came, they began to sow the seed of discord on the Berean Jews and Christians that have believed in order to drive Paul away. So Paul escaped to Athens. This escaped here. You will know how serious it is for Paul to escape alone. He escaped alone. He didn't even remember that Timothy and Silas, he was with them there. Paul escaped alone to Athens. Praise Master Jesus. So I want you to see the rigorousness, the pain it took Paul to bring about the holy book we are reading today. So we're supposed to have seen the price this team of evangelists paid. I say Paul escaped alone from Berean to Athens. For him to leave his team and follow, maybe they put him under the boot. You know, today they will put him under the book and lock him. Who knows how they took him out of this place, because his life was at risk. Now, Paul would have said, those who wanted to help him escape, No. I'm a man of God. I will just cross the border. You touch not the anointed of God and do his servants no harm. No weapon fashioned against me shall prosper. Paul would have said so. But Paul was whisked away by security men. You see, so it's allowed when things begin to work in the contrary, especially when it's after your life. And when he escaped to Athens, that was how the believers that believed in Berea, they congregated and they became a church. Now take note, even though there was a church in Berea, we don't have any record of any specific episode that was written to them by Paul. We don't have that record, but we know that Paul planted a church there. Praise Master Jesus. So when he left to Athens, he now sent message. Go to the next slide. He now sent message back to Berea, asking Timothy and Titus to come and meet him in Athens. So those people, they found their way too in order to join them, because since they didn't see Paul, they will start going after those that were with Paul. And Paul, again, as his routine was, he went to the synagogue and he preached. And when he got to Athens, before the arrival of Paul, the unknown God that we normally see in the scripture, this actually is the God of the Athens, where Paul took the advantage of the environment, saw what they were worshiping, and he told them, "Is your unknown God, I have come to preach to you about." Now, Paul sent Timothy back to Thessalonica to establish, take note, to establish the church of Thessalonica. Take note now, why Timothy and Titus and probably Dr. Luke met Paul in Athens, Paul sent Timothy back to Thessalonica. Remember, Paul only spent 3 weeks in Thessalonica. He doesn't know, because of the hostility he had there, he doesn't know if the brethren of the Thessalonica, they are still following the gospel he has already planted. Now, the question is, Prophet Silas was first in the ministry before before Timothy. Why then did he send Timothy? He's supposed to have sent an elderly man in the ministry. Now, these are also the points we get to understand because of the purpose by which Timothy is going back there. The purpose is to establish. His purpose is to reason from the Old Testament, break the Old Testament down, bring out the teachings Paul has been teaching, reason it with them. And a prophet doesn't have this grace to do that. It's only a pastor that has the grace to establish a church. So that was why Prophet Silas wasn't sent to Thessalonica, but Paul sent Timothy, because Timothy is a pastor in the making. Praise Master Jesus. So Paul willingly left Athens and he went to Corinth. Take note, Timothy returned from Thessalonica to meet Paul in Corinth. Paul wrote his second episode, the second episode from Corinth. We agree that the first episode was the book of Galatians. Now, the second episode is the book of 1 Thessalonica. Now, we want to see what brought about the writing. We've seen what brought about the writing of the book of Galatians. Now, we want to see what brought about the writing of the book of 2 Thessalonica. First of all, let's establish that Paul sent Timothy to Thessalonica. Let's see the book of 1 Thessalonica chapter 3. 1 Thessalonica chapter 3. Let's establish that first. Let's start from verse 1 very quickly because for our time. 1 Thessalonica 3 verse 1. He said, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. You see, when Paul first went to Athens, Timothy and his group met him in Athens. So when they got to Athens, they were all now in Athens. Take note of verse 2. And sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. What is it to do? To establish you, to comfort you concerning your faith. So in Athens, Paul sent back Timothy back to Thessalonica to see if the persecution they've received has scattered them. So it was the coming back and the report Timothy brought to Paul about his journey to Thessalonica. That was what gave birth to the writing. Paul now wrote, thank God you people are still in faith. I thought the hostility in there have scattered every one of you. But I'm very happy when Timothy came back, he said, you people are still even spreading the gospel to other regions. So that was what gave back to the book of 1 Thessalonica. The book of 1 Thessalonica, written to the church in Thessalonica and in extension to Christians today. Some legalists will say, the book of Corinthians was written to the church of Corinthians. Now, they should also know the book of Thessalonica was also written to the church of Thessalonica. Okay, which one is the book for the Christians today? So these books are written primarily to those churches and in extension to every Christian all over the world. You won't take this and leave this. You must take everyone that was written to all those churches. They are also applicable to us today. I say Paul also spent 3 weeks in Thessalonica. He escaped that. In Athens, he sent Timothy back to Thessalonica. We've seen that. Paul moved on to Corinthians. We've seen that in Acts 18. Let's see that in Acts 18. He left Athens and he moved to Corinthians. In Corinthians, so many things happened also that we need to establish ourselves with. He said, after these things, Paul departed from Athens. Remember, before he departed from Athens here, he has already sent Timothy to Thessalonica. So he is moving alone. He's moving alone now to Corinth. He said, and he came to Corinth. Now, let's see verse 5 of Acts 18. That was when Timothy returned. Timothy returned from Athens. He said, and when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. So this was when Timothy rejoined with Paul in Corinth. So this was when he began to tell Paul about his missionary journey to Thessalonica. And that was when Paul now wrote the book of 1 Thessalonians to the church of Thessalonica from Corinth based on what Timothy told him. Now, what was the purpose of sending Timothy? We've seen to establish their faith if they have scattered or still in the faith, like we know of the persecution, to establish them, to encourage and strengthen them. Now, to receive the word, because they received the word in much affliction. So the hostility, so many of them were killed because of the gospel, and so many things happened that gave birth to that. They say, why Timothy and not Prophet Silas? We've said that Paul wanted the church to be established, and the person that is to go there is a pastor and not a prophet. Let's see the next slide. The return of Timothy from Thessalonians, it was the report, like I said, Timothy brought back that necessitated the writing of the first episode. I say, written, this book of 1 Thessalonians was written about 19 years after his conversion. Take note, very important. Paul is not a learning preacher. Paul didn't just start up or just converted today, and tomorrow he has opened his church and become a pastor like we see today. Somebody that just converted today, tomorrow you will hear he's opened church and he says grace. Paul was well tutored. The first book Paul wrote, the book of 1 Thessalonians, Paul wrote it 17 years after he became a Christian. So somebody who wrote a book after 17 years, is it a book you need to joke with? He wrote it 17 years after him becoming a Christian. Let's see that. Let's establish that very quickly. Let's see the book of Galatians. Let's see the book of Galatians, chapter 1, verse 18. Let's see that, the book of Galatians, chapter 1, verse 18. Let's establish this. So those who are joking, preachers that are joking with Apostle Paul's letter, they should rethink. And no, Paul is not a learning prophet. He's not an apprentice. He's a one that wrote from wealth of experience. He said, verse 18, he said, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Now, what Paul means here is that after 3 years of his conversion, that was when he went to Jerusalem first. Take note, 3 years. Let's go to chapter 2 of Galatians. Chapter 2 of Galatians, let's start from verse 1 now. After 3 years, he said, then, 14 years after that 3 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas. Now, these 14 years he went with Barnabas was the Jerusalem Council. We just saw, we studied last year. So, the 3 years, he first of all went to Jerusalem. We said that 3 years was when they whisked him out from Damascus. Remember, they wanted to kill him in Damascus. He spent 3 years in Damascus. So that was how he escaped to Jerusalem. That was 3 years. When he came back from Jerusalem, he went back again to Jerusalem 14 years after that 3 years. Making 14 plus 3 is 17 years. So he wrote the book of Galatians 17 years after his conversion. So we should take every writings of Paul to heart as one that knows what he's doing. The purpose of the episode, to strengthen them in their faith and give them the assurance of Christ's return. To clear up the confusion about the second coming of Christ. The Corinthian church, they were in confusion. After Paul has preached, they thought Christ was coming the next day. Because of the way they received or they understood the preaching of Paul, some of them became lazy. Some weren't walking again. Okay, you go walk, you are not a believer. The apostle to our age, he said, Christ is coming tomorrow and you are still acquiring the things of this world. You are not a believer. So some became idle. Some were thinking Christ is coming today. So when Timothy came back, Timothy said, these people, they are worshiping for God though. But the thing is that they are living as if they are not getting the things they needed to get. Some of them are not working again because they thought Christ was coming. So this was the reason Paul wrote, in order to clear that confusion, that even if Christ will seem is coming tomorrow, but live your life, your daily activities, as if he's coming the next 100 years, but live your Christian life as if he's coming tomorrow. That was one of the reasons the book of 1 Thessalonians was written. I say again, to clear up the confusion about the position of the dead. Now, they were thinking they are already in tribulation. What will happen? Some of our people, they thought nobody will die again until Christ come. Now, they are seeing their loved ones die. They were confused too. So, Paul also wrote to establish their understanding, a proper understanding about the position of the dead. That death is not the end. He gave them the hope of resurrection, and again to establish them about the procedure for the rapture. So in the Christian terminology, the theological terminology, there is what they call the eschatology of Christianity. Eschatology, the Christian eschatology. Now this Christian eschatology is well taught by Paul in the book of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. This teach about the end. The end, death, resurrection, rapture. So the Christian eschatology is what Paul actually taught broadly in the book of Thessalonians. Let's see the next slides as I round up. Now, admonishment for them and for Christians today. The things, the admonishment that was embedded in that book of Thessalonians that Paul sent to them, they should avoid sexual immorality. It's also applicable to us today. Love one another. Live as a good citizens in this sinful world. Help the weak. Warn the lazy to walk, like I explained. Encourage the timid. He said, be patient with everyone. Be joyful always. And pray continually. So this is the body of the book of 1 Thessalonians. What Paul sent to them. So all these things are still applicable to us today. So if we want to make mark, we should read these things and read them as if Paul was actually talking to us. Praise the Lord. Let me have the next slide and the speed lane. The third episode of Paul. Now, when Paul sent the first episode to them, some of them still misunderstood what he wrote. So there is a follow-up letter immediately. So the second episode was actually written months after the first one was written. So this is a follow-up letter to clear. When the first letter was sent, some also misunderstood the understanding of what Paul have said to the Thessalonica church. Like we have today, so many people has misinterpreted the preachings of Brother Abraham. So if Brother Abraham were to be alive today with his own hand, he will say, the things you people are interpreting is not what I meant to. This is the right thing I am saying. But unfortunately, he's not here. But the Holy Spirit is here to direct us to the right teachings of Brother Abraham. The church of Thessalonica, we are not exempted. He said, written to the church of Thessalonica and also in extension to us. Now, Paul in the second book of Thessalonica, Paul indicates various events that must precede the second coming of Christ. So they thought Christ was coming. So Paul started now telling them, okay, let us look at these things. When this thing happened, then we know this is what will happen next. And there we now see Paul telling them of the man of sin. Let's actually take a note from that, the book of 2 Thessalonians. Very quickly. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let me drop that point. This is a follow-up letter of the first one. It says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Take note of verse 2. That you be not soon shaken in mind, nor be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by words, nor by letter as from us. Now, this letter he's talking about is the first letter he wrote, the first episode. Some of them misunderstood it. He said, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Some people will interpret here saying some people were also sending letters to them. No, they misunderstood his first letter. So he's not saying that the letter we sent and you people understood it that Christ is coming tomorrow. Now we want to give steps of the things that will happen. So that one, this is the explanation. And he said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except. So Paul now gave some events that must happen. He said, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So he said, when you see the man of sin revealed, and all fingers are pointing to that man of sin ahead, begin to pack your load. The time is coming. So in those days, nobody understood the man of sin. It's well understood now in our days. So we are now to prepare more eagerly for Christ than they were in their time. Praise Master Jesus. Very quickly, he said, written to them, their purpose now, to give the time of Christ's return, the events that will happen before his return. They were confused because of mountain persecution, thinking Christ is coming today. They wanted the world to end. The suffering was too much. And because of some misinterpretation of Paul's first letter. I think let's see the last slide. Now, points to note. First epistle written 17 years after his conversion. Second epistle written about 19 years after his conversion. Third epistle written 19 years plus. Was Paul a novice? Answer for yourself. Paul the preacher, was he a novice? 17 years experience. So any preacher that is contradicting or speaking a little of Paul's letter, go and check how many years he has been in the ministry to have authority to say that there are errors that Paul preached. And again, today we have novice pastors and prophets who accuse Paul's letters. So many, when you listen to them, you say, this one too, now, pastor, you will be amazed. Praise Master Jesus. Now, the second missionary journey of Paul have not ended. So I've tried to compress this. We are now stopping as Second Thessalonians. Then we are going to look from next week. We look at his journey to Corinth. He went to Corinth and so many things happened in Corinth. The establishment of Apollos. We look at it next week. And again, he went to Ephesus. We also look at it next week. Praise Master Jesus. And also, someone asked, how did Christianity came to Africa? Actually, during this time, let's just take this last note in the book of 1 Thessalonians. Let's take a point here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I want to see from verse 8. He said, from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God's word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. So the gospel, while Paul was converting people, people were also converting people. Like the church of Colossians, the book of Colossians, that church of Colossians was not planted by Paul. We get to see it. It was Paul's convert that planted the church of Colossians, and he brought report to Paul, his ogre, and Paul said, okay, and he wrote to them. So during this time that the gospel, before the gospel went to North Europe, the gospel has already entered Africa. History holds it that John Mark, brought the gospel. You know, Paul discipled John Mark. Later, we see that John Mark brought the gospel to North Africa through Egypt. And he converted Alexander the Great of Egypt. So it was Alexander that began to spread the gospel and went to Ethiopia. As of 4th century, King Zizana, made Christianity their official language in Ethiopia. As of 4th century, King Ezana made Christianity their official language. So during this time Paul was in Europe, those he converted, they were in Africa, also spreading the gospel. Let us bow our head. Our Father, we thank you again for this word. Please, we don't want to take question now because of our time. If you have any question, kindly ask it tomorrow in our Ask Our Pastor. Father, thank you for this word. Bless your people and let this word begin to germinate in our hearts. In Jesus' blessed name, we pray.
Hallelujah. You're blessed. Can you stand up?